The scorecard is in for the GOP plan to replace Obamacare. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. 24 million people losing insurance coverage and $337 billion shaved off the budget deficit. That is the projection from the Congressional Budget Office as to the potential impact of the House GOP plan to replace Obamacare. Let's get more on this with Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, live from Washington. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Mark.
So winners and losers, let's start with potential winners. Who can see their health care costs going down under the GOP bill based on these estimates?
Well, the government, for one. This would drop health care costs dramatically for the federal government, mainly through reducing Medicaid spending as well as tax credits. On the individual side, depending on where you live, wealthier, younger Americans would probably see lower premiums.
Okay, and who might see their costs go up?
In the short term, the average premiums would go up in general between 15 and 20%, according to the CBO, but would then start to drop after 2020. Older Americans might pay more on their premiums since this bill would allow insurers to charge a wider range of premiums as people get older. Lower income Americans may also see higher costs because while under the current law, their premiums are offset by credits based on income, this bill offers less generous credits.
So there are those credits, also tax cuts. What does the CBO say about the potential impact of those on cost?
So for most people, especially in the first few years of the projection, those reduced credits and the tax cuts would cover less of someone's overall cost than the current law. But the Republican plan does cut about $600 billion in taxes on businesses, investment income, indoor tanning, and of course, the bill does end the penalty for not purchasing health care.
Okay, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thanks very much.
You're welcome, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are something of a mixed bag in global trading. In the UK, shares are up 0.1%. In Germany, shares are down 0.1%. Asian markets closed mixed. An important development in Puerto Rico's attempt to move beyond its debt crisis, but it could mean spending reductions that could be painful, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
The plan calls for funding cuts at the University of Puerto Rico, reduced pension benefits, and a $500 million drop in the annual health care budget. More than half of the island's population is on government-provided health care. Hector Cordero Guzman is a professor at Baruch College. He says how Washington sees the island is as important as the plan itself.
If Puerto Rico is seen as a cost and a liability, then the crisis will continue to spiral out of control, and people will continue to leave.
Migration numbers to the mainland are among some of the highest in history, with many Puerto Ricans settling in Florida and Texas. Creditors have been told they'll have to take a haircut on the more than $70 billion owed. Mary Ellen Tai has been following this for Debt Wire Municipals. She says everyone will feel the pinch.
The board has been very clear that this is not a burden that will just be borne by pensioners or just be borne by bondholders.
The next move is likely negotiations, where the government will sit down at the table with creditors and hammer out the details. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, we'll get a brand new read on how people feel about globalization when Dutch voters head to the polls. Just like in the U.S. election and the Brexit vote, a very grim view of globalization and immigration is resonating with many voters. Far-right politician Geert Wilders is riding high in the polls. He is known for a strong anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim stance, but he also has an economic message that has global investors concerned. Let's talk about that with the BBC's Anna Holligan. She is in Rotterdam covering the race. Hello, Anna.
Hello.
So for anyone listening who's only heard the immigration and Islam part of Wilders' message, what does Wilders have to say about the euro and trade and the European Union?
Interestingly, he's pulled back a lot on what was very strong anti-EU rhetoric we heard in the run-up to the campaign. Actually, Dutch voters, when they saw what happened with Brexit, pulled back on that. So the whole idea of a similar kind of Nexit scenario hasn't really featured in the debate. And the Prime Minister, Mark Rutte, has a relatively impressive record, really, when it comes to the economy. So the Dutch economy is one of the strongest in Europe. Unemployment is amongst the lowest. He recognises that while he says lots of Dutch people are very optimistic, there is a large group who feel that they're having to pay more than others for the system. And he has been warning, actually, people to look at what's happening in the United States and not to take the same course here in the Netherlands because he says the Dutch people have got too much to lose.
So to what extent is this race going to set the tone for elections in other larger European countries coming up where far-right candidates have been getting some support?
This is being seen as a kind of barometer, a litmus test for the populist tide sweeping over Europe. To some degree, there are similar issues at play here. The feeling of being disenfranchised for many people. But we saw with Brexit, after that vote in the UK, support for the Nexit here in the Netherlands fell. We saw after the inauguration of Donald Trump, support for Geert Wilders, the leader of the anti-Islam, anti-immigration Freedom Party, dropped significantly, and he had aligned himself with Donald Trump, saying, we also need to close our borders. We also need to keep the Muslim immigrants out. So the voters here in the Netherlands, they may support the populism, but it's a very specific Dutch brand of populism which promotes and supports equal rights for gay people, gender equality, and that kind of thing, which isn't necessarily represented by populists elsewhere.
The BBC's Anna Holligan in Rotterdam. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And finally, a stalwart of shopping mall cuisine may soon be up for sale. Ruby Tuesday says it is considering a sale or merger. This comes as the restaurant chain reports a 4% drop in same-store sales. Casual dining chains like Ruby Tuesday have generally struggled lately. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Jake Gorski, and I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.